get it. Another 5-hour sprint. Yes, sir. 5-hour KM to AM on the Fan this Monday night. Dial 888-808-1019 if you'd like to join the show. This is a solo show. No co-host. But we got my guy Manny behind the glass. The mic's open for you, Manny. If you got something to say, just raise your hand. You know, don't bombard me with it. It's perfectly fine. But yeah, this show is for you to call in with your thoughts, your takes, your opinions, and I'll give you your time to speak, and I'll obviously give you my thoughts, takes, and opinions on everything. Shout out to Morash and Tiki for leaving so much meat on the bone. I mean, there's NBA free agency, NHL free agency, and so much to talk about with our baseball teams. So let's start there. Shout out to Lugi, though. Lugi cutting his WWE promo. I just said, I'm like, I know you're a wrestling guy, because as I listened to your show yesterday and I've been listening to your stick and your promos that you're cutting, the I'm a generational talent, I'm the future. I'm like, this guy sounds like an up-and-coming wrestler that's stepping into the ring trying to prove himself to the fans. Lugi's been here. I remember telling Lugi I was older than him a couple years ago. I was incorrect. I don't know. He just gives off young energy, and I think that's good. We need young energy here. The station is 37 years old today. Yay! WFAN. 37 years old. Older than me. And the other station on the FM dial is going to disappear at the end of next month. 2 more months, and you can't find the other station on your FM dial. So it'll just be us. Man, the future is bright. You know, Lugi's somewhere in the future, but I think the future is right now. 2024. You can listen to WFAN on the free Odyssey app. And you know who's got kids staying up till midnight, till 2 a.m. on Twitter, on Instagram, on TikTok, and also listening to the free Odyssey app? Your boy KM, right here, your nighttime host. Year 3 for me. You know who's got these kids in the back seat with mom and dad saying, who's that? Who's that talking? Oh, Keith is on? Can I call in? Your boy KM, yes, sir. So let's get it again. Let's do what we do here. 888-808-1019. I know you guys want to talk about Isaiah Hartenstein. Listen. This is a guy that was a backup at this time last year. This is a guy that when he started to rise, people couldn't pronounce his name. They didn't know who he was. Stephen A. Listen, I'm always shooting at Stephen A. Smith for good reason. But Stephen A. Smith said, I got to watch a guy named Isaiah Hartenstein. And I'm like, why are you shooting at him? Why are you coming at him? This guy hustles. This guy's good. He's got a little different bag than Mitch. I think he's going to be all right, and he was better than all right. But what I got to say to the Knicks fans, you knew you were going to lose him. There was an interview that he had during the playoff run where someone asked him about the future, and he said, very matter-of-factly, whatever, I'm going to get paid anyway. Like, regardless of what happens in the offseason, I know I'm getting paid. And boy, did he get paid. 888-808-1019. The key thing here to remember is there's only so much money the Knicks could offer him. So when Josh Hart goes out there today and uses Tiki's line, you're dead to me, I'm like, well, he's just joking around, because the Knicks had an offer for 4 years, $72.5 million, and that was the most money they could give iHeart. And as great as this season was for Knicks fans, I got to tell y'all this. Act like you've been there. And I know you can't, you literally can't act like you've been there because the Knicks haven't been good. But I don't know, put your Yankee hat on, put your Giants hat on and act like you've been there and understand, right? Back-to-back years, you were bounced in the second round. And as fun as this team was, as fun as a lot of those games were, you failed. So like your attachment to iHeart, like I don't understand. Not only can they still thrive without him, they could potentially do better. 888-808-1019. I just don't understand the pandemonium. The Knicks can't win a championship without Isaiah. What are we talking about, yo? Half the fan base didn't know this guy. Like, I remember looking up his basketball reference. All right, he came from the Clippers. Now the team, the core of the team that just got the last Infinity Stone, they just collected the fourth Dragon Ball. They got Mikal Bridges last week. Just about a week ago, they get Mikal Bridges. A week later, now they can't win. See, that's the thing with the Knicks fan, too. You're quick to celebrate, right? There's so many celebrations and proclamations because it's unfamiliar territory. You haven't been here. You don't know how to act. And I'm not saying that as a jab because I'm a stupid Nets fan. We did the same thing, right? Just 2 days ago was the anniversary of the clean sweep. The Brooklyn Nets getting KD, Kyrie, and DeAndre Jordan. And Net fans started to dream of a parade, a finals appearance. And we've been to the finals with a complete different team. But, man, we got so far ahead of ourselves because we just hadn't gotten there. And the Brooklyn Nets had been to the playoffs, but they hadn't actually gotten to the Eastern Conference Finals, the finals in recent time. So we got way ahead of ourselves. And then the James Harden stuff. And you guys know, for the Knicks fans, I tell you, you're going to have a really good team. You have a really good team. You had a really good team. But just, hey, taper your expectations a little bit. Stop proclaiming that you're neck and neck with the Celtics. I was just telling Loogie, I was mad that he wasted his time on the Lugauer with that Celtics caller. The Celtics are not going to repeat. I'll put it out there. That, you know, I always tell you guys, we have takes on the Fan that we put out one night and they expire the next day. Like, I have a drop right now where I'm saying that the Yankees are the best team in baseball. I don't feel that way. We'll get to the Yankees in a minute. The Celtics will not repeat. They're going to have a little bit of a hangover. Things are going to change. It just how it happens in sports. I don't see them being a dynasty like the Warriors were. And I see the East getting better. Obviously, Paul George signs with the Sixers. And I know a lot of Knicks fans are saying, oh, look, the Sixers got better. Yeah, because instead of Tobias Harris, they have Paul George. But Paul George is 34. Paul George is not the same PG-13 we were seeing in Indiana. Oh, and don't forget about Indiana. You still have to deal with them. You might not have respect for them, but they don't have respect for you. They knocked you out. They went on to the Eastern Conference Finals. So when you're looking at the Knicks with Mikal Bridges and paying OG Anunoby, you're in great shape. But losing Ihart, and Ihart going to get his big payday, the payday that he's dreamed of from when he slipped in the draft. That was the fault of the Brooklyn Nets, if you know that story. I mean, now this guy's making more money than Jalen Brunson. 888-808-1019. In what world? In a world where New York is the main stage. In a world where the lights are bright. And if you perform here, everybody sees you. Everybody knows you. If I can make it there, I'll make it. In Oklahoma City, like, who wants to go live out there? I guess if you have the bag, you can be rich forever. So good for him. Congrats to him. I just don't understand the Knicks fans now thinking that this changes your course. This changes your offseason. How come last week this is the best offseason the Knicks have ever had? And now losing Ihart? No. Good for him. A 3-year deal, $87 million deal to join, right? You go from the number two team in the East to the number one team in the West, seeding-wise, obviously. 888-808-1019. Now, let's go from that blue and orange team to the other blue and orange team. The Grimettes. The Grimazing Mets. Oh, is that done? It can't be done. It's a national story. Yeah, they lost a couple games. They were undefeated for a while with people showing up dressed as Grimace and Mets fans making t-shirts. I was on Saturday and I said, yo, this is cool. The Mets fans don't have anything cool, right? You have Frank the Tank. Frank the Tank's not cool. Shout out to Frank. That's my guy. He wouldn't take that personally. But Frank the Tank is showing up in Milwaukee to throw out a first pitch. In Arizona to throw out Frank the Tank has turned into this massive Barstool media member that they're shopping around as a guy to make appearances everywhere. That's the Mets mascot outside of Mr. and Mrs. Met. It was Frank the Tank. So it was cool that you had Grimace. I said, David Stearns, you're a marketing genius. You get McDonald's involved? Everybody loves McDonald's at some point in your life. Everybody knows the Golden Arches. Everybody knows Grimace now. And to bring Grimace in to throw the first pitch, everybody throws a first pitch in Citi Field. That was something. It changed their fate. But really what changed their fate was changing the roster, changing the lineup, and not sitting by and being passengers while the season just took a nosedive. And for Mets fans that stuck with the team and felt like, yo, it's early. What are you guys talking about? Good on you. It's still very early. But I say to the delusional Met fan that's now talking World Series because of team chemistry that they see, pump your brakes, slow down. Act like you've been there. Act like you've watched baseball. Act like you've gone through seasons before. Like, we're at the halfway point. And the OMG sensation, I think that's cool as hell too. On Saturday when I was on, I was like, imagine the Giants defeating the Packers on Monday Night Football. And they say, hey, Giants fans, stay in your seats after the game for a performance by Darren Waller. And Darren Waller comes out and performs his new hit song for Kelsey Plum. That would have been fire. Shout out to Darren Waller. He's not on the team anymore, but athletes want to be entertainers. Entertainers want to be athletes and vice versa. I've talked about being at Yankee Stadium and how Juan Soto has brought out every reggaeton artist. Sometimes I'm in Legends and I see these guys walk through in fur coats or designer stuff. I'm like, who the hell is this? This is a famous guy? I'm working on, you know, learning about Mike Towers and Archangel and some of these other reggaeton artists. But Jose Iglesias has done it. He was my Casamigos big shot of the night Saturday in a loss. Because when they put him in the lineup, he said he was floating the day before. That energy carried over. He actually was able to get hits, right? And he now actually has a hit record, OMG, on the Latin charts. And I think all of that is great. 888-808-1019. But it doesn't matter what I think. It doesn't matter what I think. Some of these weirdo Mets fans care too much about what I think. It matters what the baseball gods think. And as I thought it was cool, I thought it was a great look on Apple TV with the LED lights that Steve Cohen installed. And wow, this looks like a Bad Bunny concert in HD 4K for the world to see. Across the diamond was a team that I watched celebrate on the other side of New York. Across the diamond was the hated Houston Astros, who have had a lot of success in New York. And I think them and the baseball gods looked at that showcase, that performance, that celebration after they lost, and they said, okay, we'll take the next two. Yeah, we'll take the next two. It's only so long fake thugs can pretend. It's only so long fake thugs can pretend. I mean that because your bullpen was fake. You were gangster until we started to get to that bullpen. You can hit a bunch of home runs, you can rock some pitchers, but when you meet a team that's actually a peer-tier team, the Houston Astros, right? They're struggling in the beginning of the year. They get back to 500. They start figuring it out. Obviously, they were down a bunch of arms, and they just have been there. They're battle-tested, and I think that woke them up a little bit. 888-808-1019. Now, right now, I'm in here watching the Mets down in D.C. Let's see if they right the ship. Let's see if they can win today, and if they don't, then that's a three-game losing streak. And all of the talk about World Series, all the talk about owning the city and how great the Mets are and camaraderie and this OMG song and the grimace, that all takes a back seat to what the most important thing is, baseball and winning games. Brandon Nimmo bumped his head. Oh, my glob. I'm like, what happened to him? It's nothing too crazy. How many times have we seen these stories with the Mets? Happy Bobby Bonilla Day, you know. Luckily, it wasn't anything too crazy with Nimmo. But yeah, shout out to Candelita and the Mets fans. Hopefully, you enjoyed that little bit of a run. You deserve to have fun. You don't deserve to be miserable the whole season. But now, like, you've got everybody's attention. And when that meeting happened, one of the things that they talked about in the meeting was there's no pressure on us, right? All the pressure is on other teams to not lose to the Mets. And now that you have a pop star in the lineup, now that you have a McDonald's mascot, you have the attention of everybody that you face, and your schedule softens up, but now everybody's going to be looking to knock you off so they control you and say, oh my God, 888-808-1019. You know, and speaking of getting everybody's best shot, that's what happens with the New York Yankees all the time, every year. You're always going to get everyone's best shot. They're going to be geared up to knock you off because you are the 27-time champions. Bam, 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 ah. Bah, bah, bah. You have Aaron Judge, and I've already repented. I've confessed. I've prayed about it. I've taken it all back. I will never say a bad thing about Aaron Judge. I don't know exactly what I'm watching anymore. It's ridiculous now. I don't know why they still pitch to him. He is the best baseball player I've ever seen with my own eyes. I was there his first game. I can't tell you how many home runs I've physically seen this man hit, and I apologize for challenging him. I apologize for questioning him. Thinking he was hurt, thinking, oh man, this contract 9 years, he's hurt the first year, he's slumping this year, here we go. No, 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 no. We're blessed to watch Aaron Judge. This is a guy that doesn't come around too often. How lucky the Yankees are to have so many of these guys in their history. But yo, enough. Stop playing around. It's July now. Brian Cashman has to do everything to shore this team up. This team almost lost 5 series in a row. The gauntlet of June is over. I was telling you in April. I was telling you in May. Stack wins. Please sweep everyone you can sweep, because when we get to June, it's not going to be sweet. They go 14-13 through the month of June. They lose four series in a row. And something happened in Toronto, north of the border, after they were licking their wounds and sad about being embarrassed in front of the entire city. And they had to go through customs and didn't arrive to the 6 until 4 in the morning. They go out there, Carlos Rodon. He's weak. He's feeble. Feeble, Jeff McFeeble. He's feeble. I don't know how long he's going to last here in New York. He's just showing me a lot of things that, I don't know, they need to get the Yankees mental health coach, psychiatrist, whatever, to talk to that guy. Something happened, though, right? Not that first game. That first game, you know, he was allowed to show up a rookie who didn't charge the ball and make a play on a spinning ball going down first base, a kid that played catcher for most of his career. He was allowed to show that kid up. Nobody really made a fuss about it because he sucks, and they lost the game. But in the very next game, the next guy to take the ball, the next guy on the mound, shows some passion, some intensity, shows me signs of urgency. He takes the ball. He wants to win. He takes the ball. He's feeling he can impact the game. He wants to go deeper in the game. And you know what? He was dead wrong. Marcus Stroman, you know you were wrong. And that's why you were accountable. And that's why you checked in with everyone. And the greatest baseball player we've ever seen came over to you on camera to check your temperature as well. But you were dead wrong to do that. That's not the Yankee way. That's not the unwritten rules of baseball way. You were wrong. It didn't look good. And hopefully you learned from it. But I could appreciate it as a former athlete, especially a football player. Football players all the time do that. If you're not blocking your man, and I guess because football is more of a one-on-one game, if you're not blocking your man, if you're missing tackles, if you're getting beat all game, somebody is going to start. Like, you guys have seen it on the sideline in the NFL all the time. We just don't make much of a fuss about it. Tom Brady can yell. Odell Beckham Jr. can kick a kicking net. Literally, Travis Kelce almost knocked Andy Reid on his ass, and nobody made a fuss about it. But Marcus Stroman is pissed off because the whipping boy of the New York Yankees right now, I always tell you somebody's got to be the whipping boy, Gleyber Torres, who has cost the Yankees outs, and I'm sure some of you baseball stat guys can go look at his, I don't know, defensive run saves or how many outs he's cost the Yankees. Maybe he's cost the Yankees a game this year. And that guy didn't show enough intensity to Marcus Stroman. And listen, he reached his boiling point. But you know what? It was heat that was applied over time to get there, right? Not just a little bit of heat. It was, yo, you just got benched. You're back in the lineup. All season, you've been going through the motions. All season, you've been costing us outs. Aren't you playing for your career? Make the play. Throw the ball. Show some intensity, bro. Stroman was wrong for that. He was wrong for that. But somebody's got to wake the team up. Somebody's got to snap them out of it. Losing is contagious. I liked a guy that just got here deciding that he didn't want to take it anymore. He was wrong with where he pointed it and how it came out, but I think that had boiled over from, I don't know, I'm sure Gleyber Torres dropped a ball or misplayed a ball before when Stroman was on the mound, but he kept it inside. And that boiling over, that woke Gleyber Torres up. Oh, Gleyber hits a homer. Oh, all of a sudden, Gleyber snapped back into it. Now we're looking at the Yankees like, if we can get Gleyber Torres going, maybe we don't need to trade for a second baseman. Oh, DJ LeMahieu's awake. The machine is back with runners in scoring position. Oh, if we can get this much out of DJ LeMahieu, maybe we don't need as much at the deadline. Nah, don't be fooled by that. Stack the deck. We need corner infielders. We need bullpen help. The Mets are going to be competing for bullpen help. I have some in my notes about, if you're in baseball, aren't you more inclined to help the Mets and send them bullpen pieces? But I don't know what the Mets have to give or spend compared to Brian Cashman and the Yankees. But, y'all, that's my 20-minute open, man. We're going to be doing this all night. I got plenty to say. I've got guests joining me because I do want to talk about the NHL and about the NBA. And as much as I think I know I don't know everything. So I've had this guy on before, Arthur Staple from The Athletic. He's going to come in to talk about the Rangers. But really, we're going to talk about the Devils. Hell yeah. Hell yeah. The defense is stacked. We got a new coach. We got some new defensive pieces. The Devils aren't playing around. They're ready to go. I like it a lot. I like it a lot. New goalie. Like, we're going to talk some hockey, some puck on the fan. I don't know anything about soccer. I don't know anything about the Red Bulls or the qualifying matches. I don't know. I can't do that. I don't know anything about Hawk to a Girl. Besides, that's the dumbest thing that's going on right now. In America, we elevate the dumbest people over the dumbest things. And they fabricate all these stories. Oh, she was a teacher. Her dad was a priest. She deleted all her social media. And then she goes on a Barstool interview that comes across my Twitter feed. She's like, nope, that's not true. That's not true. I'm like, yo, the internet is fake. It's not real life. And now the lines are blurred to the point where the presidential debate looks like the internet in real life. It's a joke. 888-808-1019. We've got plenty to talk about. So Art Staple to do the NHL free agency at 8:15. And then later in the night, we'll get into the other moves going on in the NBA, whether it's Klay Thompson, whether it's, you know, New York Knicks related. Mike Vorkunov will join me at 10:15, but I'm taking your calls. I see we got a full rack of calls. I'm going to fly through them. This is Keith McPherson on the Fan. We call this KM to AM, a five-hour sprint till midnight. The future is right now. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back. Oh, yeah. Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, you're now rocking with the best. KM to AM on the Fan, you heard? I just heard my guy Michael K say that. Like, if you don't think you're the best at what you do in this industry, get out of the industry. Like, you know, last week when he was talking about being the best booth in baseball. Glad that's blown over. Still scoreless here as SNY has on the Mets game in front of me. And we'll wait to see who draws first blood there. I was going through my notes. Man, there's so many things from the weekend. Obviously, with the Yankees and Juan Soto. I was so pumped. Saturday, I did the show, and I was talking about how important Juan Soto is to the fans and to the lineup, to his teammates, and just the feel of the New York Yankees. You gave up so much to get this guy, and then he gets to the Yankees, and he's been hurt more than he's been hurt in the last two, 3 years in the first half of the season. And I got it with the Dodgers series. Okay, he first expressed something. You checked it out. There was some inflammation, so you held him out for three games. But I felt like that is what sent the team spiraling into this gauntlet. I feel like if Juan Soto was there to go toe-to-toe with the almighty Dodgers, with Ohtani and Betts and Freeman and Teoscar Hernandez, maybe we win that first game that we lost in extra innings. Maybe we win that series. Maybe we don't spiral this way. So Sunday, I can't tell you how pumped I was. I thought I was seeing things. I think it was like 8 minutes before first pitch, Juan Soto forced his way back into the lineup. And I'm like, let's go. Stop being soft. Let's bully these guys. We bullied them Friday. We can bully them again. Have some urgency. Act like you don't want to lose five series in a row. 888-808-1019. And yeah, watching the Mets versus the Houston Astros. Man, the Mets had put up ridiculous numbers. Everything I read about the Mets, OPS, batting average, home runs, extra base hits, like, for the Met fan, you gotta have some of those games on your DVR. Like, this run that they just put together was unprecedented. They were the best team in baseball in June, which is so nice to see as a fan, because last year they couldn't win a damn series in June. But man, those two games that they lost, it's like, if they're not hitting the ball out of the ballpark and they're not scoring double-digit runs or 8-9 runs, eventually, the bullpen is going to give it up. You've got injuries, you've got suspensions, and that's your weakness. As I just said, the first run I thought would be coming in who would draw first blood, the Washington Nationals strike first as they're on the board 1-0 in the bottom of the third here. Let's go to the phones. I said I was going to blow through these calls. We got to go through the calls so you guys get your time on the Fan. Let's go to Terrence in Middletown, New York. Terrence, you're first up.
Hey, what's going on, Keith, man? First time caller. I really love your show. I listen to you every day after work on the drive home. And I really appreciate your show, man. But I just want to let you know, I was at that Mets game Friday. I took my girl. It was Pride night. They were giving out the Mets Pride hats. Fortunately, we didn't get there in time to get one. But listen, man, that performance was awesome. You know, basically turned Citi Field into an outdoor club. Like, and I think more teams should do it, because I believe that any little kid in the area within 2 or 3 miles heard the performance, saw the fireworks going off. They're a Mets fan now, even if the Yankees are the big brother.
Oh, I said it Saturday. I said there are little kids making a decision off the Subway Series, off of the fun things that the Mets have. Oh, now the Mets have an OMG sign where guys hit home runs. They have a prop. The Yankees are never going to have a prop if they don't have one yet. All these other teams, we've seen the Mariners with a trident. We've seen Shohei Ohtani's Angels with a samurai hat. We watched the Blue Jays just kick our ass, and they got a stupid jacket that they wear. Like, the Mets having that OMG prop, the shirts, the song, the pop star, backup infielder, on top of the Grimace stuff, which just screams, hey, kids, baseball, you want to come this way? Yeah, there's a bunch of kids that probably decided this summer I'm going to be a Mets fan.
Yeah, definitely. And, you know, I want to touch on the Yankees for a second. You know, the Yankees are all about tradition and everything, which I understand. And it's great to have some tradition and pride in tradition, but, you know, it's 2024 now. You know, the Yankees got to... don't get me wrong. I've been a Yankee fan my entire life. I'm becoming a Mets fan now because, you know, I like, you know, I like doing more things. You know what I mean?
Oh, man. Thanks for your first call, Terrence, but you just violated. You just... Shaq, squeak? Yo, man, I looked at Manny. Manny just shook his head in disgust. Where are we going with... I've been a Yankee fan my whole life, but I'm becoming a Mets fan now. Are you in elementary school?
Bro, Queens is further away from Middletown than the Bronx is. What are you doing, bro? You're wasting more gas.
Ah, man, that's a great first call, Terrence, but we don't do that. There's no set tripping over here. There's none of that switching sides, homie. You got to pick a side and stay on that side, especially if you're a grown-ass man, Doc. I wasn't expecting him to say that. I thought he was a Mets fan, said he went to the game. I'm giving Mets fans props this weekend. Yeah, I wanted the Yankees to win the Subway Series. I want the Yankees to win every single game. The Subway Series? I want to win the World Series. Hello. But yeah, as the Yankees got dominated and pummeled, all I could do is tip my cap and be humbled and say, what is wrong with the Yankees right now? They can't pitch. They can't hit. The lineup's trash. We got some problems. There are young guys that decided just this week, yeah, I'm a Mets fan. If they're on the fence, you know how little six-year-olds can be on the fence. One day they're Aaron Judge, Yankee fan. Next day they're a Mark Vientos Mets fan. Like, yeah, it swings like that. And with the fun things that the Mets had this just in this month of June, I think there are a lot of little kids that decided they want to wear that blue and orange cap, and that's fine. 888-808-1019. It's a rivalry, right? It's an overhyped one, but it's fun. It makes it so fun. It's entertainment. I think that's what a lot of people miss. A lot of people get so angry and get so nasty about it. It's like, yo, laugh a little bit. Enjoy the rivalry. Whoever wins, like, you know, the Mets dominated the Yankees. And I tip my cap. I give respect. Of course I'm going to trash talk. Of course I'm going to rep my gang. But when they go out there and they don't get it done, I'm just as hard on them as I would be on the Mets. Let's keep it rolling, man. John in Bayside. John, you're on the Fan.
Hi, Keith. It's John from Bayside. I really want to know your opinion about this. I'm the last, from a very far from a negative person, yet I know how important these days bullpens are. And the Yankee bullpen and the Mets bullpen are starting to worry me both. The Yankee bullpen just gives up runs like running water. And, of course, the Mets bullpen is even worse. I'm afraid they're just going to start playing 500 baseball or less. What do you think?
No, sir. I think that they're not going to sit by, right? Phil Bickford came into the game over the weekend. I said, oh, there goes the game. Mets fans know who that is. He got DFA'd. You know, same thing with Stearns and that operation over there. They're not sitting by. They will get guys up out of here. Like, Tyler McGill, you got to go, bro. See you later. Like, right. They're not sitting by and saying, oh, it happens. They're saying, no, we got to win. We can do better. Bring somebody else in.
Do you think this will happen by the trade deadline or before?
Oh, we're coming into it, you know, and that's the thing I always say about the deadline. Thanks, John. Appreciate the call and the thought. And, you know, the deadline is the deadline. They've been making trades all season. Luis Arraez got traded in May. I was like, wait, what the hell is going on? We're already making trades 2 months before the deadline. You can make a trade anytime. The Yankees traded for John Birdie. First day of the season. The Yankees traded for J.D. Davis. You can make a trade now. And now it's tick, 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 tick. Now the time starts to run out. Now you're about to see everybody's trade proposals.
Everybody's, oh, six targets for the New York Yankees at the trade deadline. Here's five targets for the Mets at the trade. You know, everybody's going to start cooking up who they want, their wish list, and we'll see what happens. I think a lot of people forget, though, you have to give to get. It's a trade. It's a dance. It takes two to tango. You can't just say, here's our garbage. Here's Gleyber Torres. Give us the best reliever in your bullpen. It doesn't work like that. And also, I know we get tunnel vision on our own teams. Man, a lot of these bullpens are garbage in Major League Baseball. Some bullpens have some guys that come out throwing 100 miles an hour that are good. But a lot of these guys are journeymen, bullpen arms. A lot of these guys are former starters converted into bullpen arms. A lot of these guys are up and down. Like, it's, I don't know who the best bullpen in baseball is. A lot of times we trust the Yankees to have the best bullpen in baseball. A lot of times the Yankees have had the best bullpen in baseball. That gives me faith that they're going to fix this, that Brian Cashman is definitely going to fix this. I have something in my notes that popped up. There was a report that the Yankees are actively scanning the trade market for bullpen support. You don't say. Shout out to Chris Kirshner from The Athletic. Wow. What a brain buster. The Yankees need bullpen help? Yeah, because they have a bunch of guys like Tim Hill, Michael Tonkin. Shout out to Michael Tonkin. Appreciate him. But they have a lot of guys that have been DFA'd, let go, played for different teams. You know, Caleb Ferguson, Victor Gonzalez. It's like, man, we could do better, and we have to do better if we think that this is a season where the Yankees can win the division. Uh-oh, look at the Orioles. See, Keith, I told you the Orioles. Hey, relax. It's baseball. Like, I wasn't expecting the 101-win Orioles to completely fold. Difference with them is they don't make as many excuses as us. They have a ton of injuries, and they keep plugging away at it. Let's see where it goes. We're on the second half of the season. This is a roller coaster. If you're scared of the ride, don't get on the ride. Let's switch gears a little bit. I want to talk to Jose in Newburgh. Jose, are you mad, or are you just... Let's see what he says. You're not mad, right?
Keith.
You're mad?
Yeah, I'm mad at Hartenstein. Listen, man. I'm gonna be different. I heard a lot. Yeah, you got to take the 30 mil, but $72 million for 4 years?
Right,
you're going to be a free agent?
We can't do it, bro. We can't talk about the money. I don't know your profession or how much money you make.
Man, I'm a regular guy. Just like everyone else.
He's got a family. This guy is, he's not even from America.
Listen to you. Your family can't live off of $72 million when you can become immortal in New York?
Bro, you're immortal in New York? That's another thing. Pump the brakes. So many of you Knicks fans think that he's going to be on a parade float. Like, that's a guarantee if he stays in New York.
Hold on. But you're telling me that we don't, in your eyes, from what you see with him at our center, that our chances of getting a ring don't shoot up exponentially?
No, I think that this is a guy that none of you guys cared about when you first got him.
Yeah, absolutely right.
And I think that he elevated this year, but no two years are the same. So you watching him elevate this year was their strategy, how they were coached, what they had to do to adapt. Julius Randle will be back. Now you have Mikal Bridges.
I'm with it. I'm happy about that.
They're going to look different, bro. And you can never fault a man for taking more money for him and his family. You never turned down your first fortune.
I can. No. Because come on, $72 million, you're 26 years old,
it's
man.
It's not close. It's a $15 million difference. It's not close. Jose, if you're going to be mad at that, like, I don't know what to tell you, bro. Thanks for the call. But, like, I can't count nobody else's pockets. I can't look at another man, another grown man that worked his whole life for this opportunity. I got to go bring up, and if you guys watch the Isaiah Hartenstein episode of The Roommates, he talks about how the Brooklyn Nets marked him when he was coming into the draft and teams passed on him and he dropped. So he missed out on his money coming into the league. I can't fault a man for taking the most money that he earned on the main stage. I just sang Frank Sinatra in my open. He did it here. This is the hardest place to do anything. He excelled and he earned that money. You can't be mad at him as a Knicks fan for taking $15 million more to go join a number one seed. What if he becomes a champion with the Oklahoma City Thunder next year? You're going to be mad at him then? And there's so many people, you guys love to talk about, he wouldn't ever had to pay for a drink or a meal in New York City. Come on, bro. He can buy you, me, everybody that works at WFAN drinks and food when he comes back to NYC after having a contract like that, $87 million in 3 years. First off, the money in the NBA, like, I'm thinking back to when I was a kid.
Keith, remember Jason Tatum just signed for $300 million plus.
I know. And I mean, when Jaylen Brown signed last year, we were like, what? What? Like, these guys, the generational wealth that these guys get from, I don't know, man. I wish I was a little bit taller. I wish I was a baller. Like, yo, that's insane. Isaiah Hartenstein has 1 year where Mitchell Robinson goes down. He becomes the backup, and he's able to make $87 million over the next 3 years and go quietly live in Oklahoma City. That's probably better for him, too. He can go quietly live in Oklahoma with that money and stack that money. Everything is expensive here in New York. So, Jose, think about that. As you and I, we don't make anywhere close to that money. But I got to pay $16 every day just coming through the toll to come to work. I parked my car out here just so they didn't hit me with 7 o'clock. That was a couple dollars just to pay for the parking. I don't know how many $65 tickets I've gotten in New York City. They've told me. I've been towed to the Bronx tow for $300. Richie's in Queens. Richie, you're on the Fan.
Hey, Keith, how are you?
I'm good. Hanging out, watching a Mets game. They're down 2-0.
I'm not shocked with that. You know, I want to talk about that because I know Hoffman, I love him, predicted they'd win the World Series. Look, they're on a roll, but they got major issues, and they're not going to continue to hit like that. They're just not. The bullpen has to come around. They got they need a number one guy, and maybe Senga comes in. They got a lot of threes and fours, Quintana and Minaya. It's been a good story, but you know what? There's so many bad teams in the National League, other than the Braves, that I think have a lock for the wild card. It's going to be interesting. They should be in there.
But the run that they had in June, I have some notes, and I was listening to Howie Rose talk about how they had like 11 straight games with a home run, and they had multiple games with hitting three home runs. Like, nobody can keep that up.
Exactly, and that's my point. And I think that Vientos has been a great story. They do have some guys, and obviously JD, which I screamed for all year to get him to give him, make them viable, because this was the year they were supposed to not be that good, and next year they're going to go with the young kids and maybe get Soto. But hey, you want to put people in the seats, you want to make it competitive, and right now they're doing that. Your team, I'm very surprised what's happened with them. I just don't like how good they were 2 weeks ago to where, well, we need a third baseman, and we need a first baseman, and Torres thinks we might need a second baseman. We're going to need two guys in the bullpen. You know, maybe LeMayo starts to pick it up. You know, maybe Torres starts to look at the back of his baseball card. You know, and maybe that surprised you. But, Keith, I want to talk about one thing. The show, first of all, happy birthday. You've been a welcome addition to this WFAN.
WFAN, happy birthday to us.
Because I remember in June of 87, and they kept talking about this, and I kept saying 24-hour sports station? How in the blazes is that going to work? And I remember calling Pete Franklin.
We'll mix in some Hawk Tua. Go ahead, sorry.
Yeah, and I remember, you know, calling Pete Franklin, and my first call was to Susan Waldman, and obviously called Eddie Coleman. And it's been an amazing ride. So it has been, you know, probably 300 to 1,000% more than what they thought it would be. I think at that time, could it work? Will it work? Will people listen 24 hours a day? So, I just wanted to say happy birthday about that. And and with the Knicks, with Hartenstein, you're right. I'm 76. I don't like to get into the money aspect, because if you do, you bang your head against the wall. If they pay it, you know, that's what the market bears. They make that money. But when I see $200 million for George, $52 million a year, I just wonder when does the bubble break?
It's never. Just, never.
It's really
it's just
going to
keep going up and up and up.
Keith,
because
you're one of my favorites. Keep up the good work.
Richie, thank you so much. And I appreciate you being a listener from the beginning and saying I'm one of your favorites. 888-808-1019. It will never end, because this station exists 24 hours a day talking sports. We are obsessed. We love it. I'm guilty as charged. I wake up in the morning, I turn on SportsCenter. I wake up in the morning, I'm listening to BT and Sal, 10 a.m. I'm on Twitch. Shout out to the Twitch gang in the chat if you guys are listening. My show's not on Twitch, but you know what I'm talking about. There's usually 100 people in the morning in the chat watching BT and Sal do their thing. I could watch the news. No, I can't. I never watch the news. Unless I'm on it. Shout out to NBC bringing me through. I don't do anything else. I don't watch movies, right? Richie usually calls and tells me, watch a movie once in a while. For what, bro? I'll watch the Bronx Zoo 1990 Yankees, Doc. What movie is there to watch? What is more entertaining than live sports? I'll watch any baseball team play. I'll watch the KBO. I'll watch the Little League World Series in a month. I'm into sports. I don't know why. It happened when I was a kid. Nobody made me do it. I was athletic, so I played. And then when I couldn't be outside playing, I played the video game and I watched football, basketball, baseball, hockey. Soccer, I still haven't really, you know. The most soccer I got into was working at Fubo TV because those guys are soccer nuts. And it made me appreciate it and understand it. I just don't have the capacity for it now. But anyway, you understand what I'm saying. This station exists because of the sport fanatic, because of the city we're in, with the amount of sports teams and fans we have. The station's not going anywhere, right? And it's not about me, and it's not about, I don't know, Craig Carton or Steve Summers or Mike Francesa. It doesn't matter. Any of what, like, you're about to hear this week, and you've already been hearing, you're about to hear so many different voices and styles of shows because it's the holiday coming up. You're about to hear so many different young people, maybe some old-timers filling back in, whatever. You're going to hear it. And whether you like someone's voice or style, whatever, it doesn't matter. You'll tune in to hear the conversation and hear the calls because there's nothing else like it. This platform is so intimate. It's in your ears. It's in your car. You can listen by yourself and feel like you're a part of it. Like when I do my show, I hope it feels like you're hanging out with me. I hope it feels like we're all hanging out, just, you know, shooting about the Mets and the Yankees and whatever. And, you know, back to the Yankees, something that Richie said, man, Gleyber Torres, DJ LeMahieu, they have to show up. Because you can't go shopping at the deadline thinking that you're going to go supermarket sweep. I'll have this, and I'll have this. Like, again, Brian Cashman, the eternal Yankees GM, as good as he is at his job, not everybody loves him. Not everybody wants to do business with him. And the New York Yankees, 27-time champs, no one is lining up to see them add to Aaron Judge and Juan Soto and get 28. No one. No one. So you got to win it on your own, Cap. Come on. Come on, Jeets. Come on, Judge, rather. You gotta take us to the promised land, right? Jeter did it. I had a call the other day when somebody was talking about how Judge, and I would love for that caller to call back now that we saw Judge, literally, like, how Judge isn't the captain that Jeter was because he's smiling in the dugout because, you know, he's not, like, what you saw Judge do was very Jeter-like. And when you watch Judge in his postgame, it's very Jeter-like. And the captain just turned 50 last week. That's crazy. Ken is in New Rochelle. Before we go to the break at the top of the hour, Ken, you got it. You're on the Fan.
What's up, man? It's first time, long time. First time.
Okay, thank you.
I got a great Jeter story for you, Jeter and Wells story. David Wells, there was a game, and somebody misjudged the ball in the center field, NFL. And he just made all this demonstrative, and he was going crazy, and had to drop that, you know. And before that, he was complaining about Jeter being named captain. So he's so young. Why name him captain now? Not in the league long enough. What's he doing? And when he got in the dugout, Jeter said to him, look, that's not the Yankee way. We don't do that. If you do that ever again, every time you serve up a home run ball, we're going to all look at you like, really? That's the best you got? He said, at that moment, I knew they picked the right guy for Cap.
Mm-hmm. I've heard that story. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a good one, and it's a great one. I'm sure Judge knows that story.
Yeah.
Thanks for the call, Ken. Being a pitcher in Major League Baseball must be a wild ride itself. As we all take the ride and get on the roller coaster for 162-plus postseason, like, imagine being the psychopath that these guys have to be to take that ball every 5 days and deal with it. Like, you're watching Carlos Rodon melt as the team is melting. Carlos Rodon was looking like an all-star in the beginning of the year when everything was good. Everything was, hey, we're rolling. It's easy to go out there and pitch when these guys are hitting and everything's all good. Man, it's a game that's going to test you. It's a game that's going to humble you. It's a game that can get the best of you. You hear so much about pitchers, you know, through the season, 10 games you're going to have your good stuff. 10 games you're not going to have anything. 10 games you're going to be bad or whatever. Like, it has to be such a mind trip to go out there and have to throw and have every fan riding on your arm. And you know what? Stroman has been a Toronto Blue Jay. I also, you know, looked at that and I said that I'm like, this guy, I met him in 2014, his rookie year coming to New York with the Blue Jays, and he was quiet. Small guy, quiet as kept. But, you know, think about how much he has to overcome being undersized to be a 10-year veteran in the league, right? Think about what he had to do to make it, right? He couldn't just walk the streets of Nashville and say, "Hawk Tua," and become famous and make money. He had to earn it, you know? He had to really go out there and work on his craft and be good. And going back to Toronto, that homecoming for him, I'm sure there was a lot of emotions. Because he's a New Yorker, one of us, he grew up rooting for the Yankees. I'm sure he wants to win as much as you guys do. And going back to where it all started for him, being on that mound, he wanted to win that game. And though he was dead wrong, because Gleyber Torres, I don't know how much harder he could have thrown the ball or how much quicker he could have. I think it was Vladdy running it out, so you're expecting Vladdy to, you know, big guy, not to be that fast. You guys saw Vladdy got scratched today after Gerrit Cole threw that ball that hit him. We'll talk about it. Plenty of Yankees to talk later. But I just hear everybody talking about Stroman and getting at Stroman, and I'm like, yo, don't you want these guys to be dogs? What happened to the dog? I was calling, where are the dogs at? And even though it was misplaced somewhat, I didn't really mind it because they won. They scored 16 runs. If they would have lost, then it would have been another thing. You guys didn't say anything about Rodon getting at a rookie, like, come on, pick that up. You got to make that play. But because Stroman wears his emotions on his sleeve and, you know, got at Gleyber Torres, who we've all been getting at for years now. Oh, this guy's a team cancer. He's all about himself. Like, yeah, please. Like, I get it. Some of you just built in, just don't love Stroman because he blocked you on Twitter. But if the Yankees are going to go where the Yankees are trying to go, we're going to need that guy. And he's been pretty solid. And I think he's a big part of that clubhouse, right? That whole candle thing that the players do. Cole just came back and they said, oh, Cole lit a candle. He brought a tradition into this team of on your start day, you light a candle. Before you go out there, you blow it out. And he brought that to the Yankees. And he's brought some fire to the Yankees, some fire merch to the Yankees. This guy's got every throwback 1996, 1998 Yankees World Series hat, shirt. I don't mind it. It was misplaced. It was wrong. But he checked in with everybody he had to check in with. He was accountable about it. And the Yankees won. They got off the mat. They woke up. Sometimes you need somebody to yell and scream and put everybody, like, not at ease. So people wake up and realize we're in the middle of a season. Justin Steele did it for the Cubs where Stroman was last year. Maybe he saw Stroman the night before. He was like, hey, Stro got after those guys and they woke up. Maybe I got to slam my glove, tell these guys, wake the F up, and maybe I'll get some results. I don't mind it. Keith McPherson on the Fan. That's 1 hour down. We got four more to go. Coming up in this hour, Art Staple. We're going to talk hockey. Nobody cares about hockey, Boomer. Yes, they do. Yes, they do. Especially in free agency. Rangers made a move. Devils made some moves, and Art is the guy to educate us on the moves that are going on and who got better and where we're headed. And I'll try to sneak in a couple calls. Let's take this break so we can do that. Don't go anywhere. We're coming right back.